What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Nancy Pelosi is stepping down from her leadership role in the House of Representatives. And FTX's new CEO calls the crypto exchange's collapse an unprecedented mess.
He effectively said that it was chaotic and it's going to be very difficult to immediately sort of answer everyone's questions about how much money's gone, who is owed what, and that he was very disparaging of the now prior leadership.
Plus, how some morticians and funeral directors are trying to put the fun in funeral. It's Thursday, November 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the first woman to hold the role, has announced she will not seek to remain a Democratic leader after her party lost control of the House in the midterms. During a speech on the House floor this afternoon, Pelosi recounted her first visit to the Capitol when she was 6 years old.
I was riding in the car with my brothers, and they were thrilled and jumping up and down and saying to me, "Nancy, look, Nancy, look, there's the Capitol." And every time I'd say, "I don't see any Capitol. Is it a capital A, a capital B, or a capital C?" And finally, I saw it. A stunning white building with a magnificent dome. I believed then, as I believe today, this is the most beautiful building in the world because of what it represents. The Capitol is a temple of our democracy, of our Constitution, of our highest ideals.
Pelosi, who is 82 years old, also cited the growing diversity in Congress.
"For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect."
Pelosi will remain in Congress representing her California district. New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries is now seen as the frontrunner to lead the Democratic caucus. Pelosi's decision to step down comes weeks after her husband, Paul Pelosi, was attacked in their home in San Francisco. She had said previously that the attack would influence her decision. The UK government has unveiled its biggest tax increases and spending cuts in a decade. The plan marks a sharp reversal from former Prime Minister Liz Truss's plans to cut taxes and increase borrowing, which led to market turmoil and ultimately forced her to resign. Our UK correspondent Max Colchester says a key challenge now will be preventing the economy from worsening.
Britain is one of the first Western nations to actually try and impose austerity to try and pay back some of the debt accumulated due to the war in Ukraine and the pandemic. And we're going to see the biggest falls on record in household disposable income this year and next. And so there's going to be a lot of pain. I think this is, this could foreshadow a similar situation for many economies across Europe and what lies in store for a lot of people here. So it is quite grim.
The new plan calls for roughly $66 billion in spending cuts and tax increases over 5 years. Three men were found guilty of murder in the downing of a Malaysia Airlines flight over eastern Ukraine in 2014. Our D.C. reporter Daniela Cheslow has more.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says today's decision is an important moment in getting justice for the 298 people who died when flight MH17 was downed. The trial was in the Netherlands because most of the victims were Dutch. The presiding judge said Russian-backed armed groups in eastern Ukraine launched a Russian-made missile supplied by Russia and hit the plane. Three men, including two Russians and one Ukrainian, were sentenced to life in prison. A fourth defendant from Russia was acquitted. None of the accused are in Dutch custody. Russia dismissed the ruling and said it was politically motivated. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
And we report exclusively that Facebook parent Meta has fired or disciplined more than 24 employees or contractors for allegedly taking over user accounts. In some cases, they allegedly accepted bribes from outside hackers to do so. That's according to people familiar with the matter and documents viewed by The Wall Street Journal. The workers were given access to Facebook's internal mechanism for employees to help users who are having trouble with their accounts, according to the people and documents. A Meta spokesman said the company will continue to take appropriate action against anyone involved in similar schemes. Coming up, the man who's overseen big bankruptcies at companies like Enron and Fruit of the Loom has a look at FTX. His assessment after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Cryptocurrency exchange FTX experienced a complete failure of corporate controls. That's how John Wray, the new CEO of FTX, describes its downfall. Ray's no stranger to corporate collapses. He helped oversee huge bankruptcies, including Enron's, and has helped recover billions of dollars for creditors of major companies over the last two decades. In a filing to federal bankruptcy court, he said in his 40 years of restructuring companies, he has never seen anything as bad as FTX. Our finance reporter Elliot Brown has been poring over the court filing, and he joins me now with more details. Hi, Elliot. Thanks for being here.
Happy to join.
So, Elliot, let's start with some of the key findings here. What did Ray say about the way FTX was being run? What are some of the things he highlighted here?
I think the short version is he effectively called it a hot mess, though not his words. This is this initial bankruptcy filing that you give an overview, sort of saying like, hey, here's this mess I've been handed. And he effectively said that it was chaotic and it's going to be very difficult to immediately sort of answer everyone's questions about how much money's gone, who is owed what, and that he was very disparaging of the now prior leadership, Sam Bankman-Fried and some of his top deputies. You know, he was surprised at the, quote, very small group of inexperienced, unsophisticated, and potentially compromised individuals. So not quite a great compliment to them on the way out.
And Elliot, this story is growing more and more complex as it's being reported out. Just remind us, boilerplate, what we've learned so far about what happened at FTX.
The short version is it's very murky, but there are many billions missing. So customers put what FTX has said is to the tune of $8 billion into the company, and now there is not the money to pay that. How much will be recovered? That's sort of what we're going to find out in probably coming years, to be honest, but certainly coming months. And that's part of what the bankruptcy process is for.
Elliot, are there any particular details here that stood out to you in terms of what Ray analyzed and brought to light here?
They had a couple fun ones. They noted that there was no accounting control and that expenses were approved internally on chat where supervisors, quote, approved disbursements by responding with personalized emojis. And then another one that kind of jumped out to me was executives at FTX bought houses with money from FTX that they then had in their own name. And so it appeared that they used sort of FTX money to buy homes for company employees.
And let's remind our listeners of Ray's pedigree. He's been doing this sort of thing for four decades, right?
Yeah, he's sort of an old restructuring bankruptcy hand. He had worked at Fruit of the Loom, which had hit hard times around the turn of the century. And then he went on to oversee the restructuring of Enron starting about 2004. So, you know, after it had entered bankruptcy, but while it was kind of sorting through the wreckage that was left behind, and has kind of bounced around from troubled companies here and there since, including Nortel. What he says in the filing here is some management of FTX had a conversation with Sam Bankman-Fried, and he decided to resign, and then the filing happened.
What does Ray say about the possibility of recovering funds for FTX investors?
Not much, other than that they're trying, and there's a lot of money out there that they don't know about. So one of the main issues here is that he highlighted in the filing today is he doesn't trust any of FTX's financials and their financial statements, so it's hard to even tell how much money is lost and how much money it has. Suffice to say, I think there's a wide expectation, and it's been said by Sam Bankman-Fried, that there's billions of dollars to the tune of eight-ish billion that are owed to customers, but that wasn't specified in the filing. What the filing said today is they don't know. They have, you know, on the order of $740 million of cryptocurrencies they sort of found lying around and some cash. But beyond that, they're trying to figure out how much they owe customers and where it's going to come from and how much they can kind of claw back from others.
Elliot, what could all of this mean for FTX's founder, Sam Bankman-Fried? What happens from here?
Well, it's a bit of a messy situation. SBF, as he's called, has been on Twitter and talking to the press almost as though he's still in charge. And in this filing, they took specific aim at that, saying that he, quote, continues to make erratic and misleading public statements. And they sort of reminded the public that he is not in charge and isn't allowed to be. And they even said that they've gone to banks and said, you are not to take any instructions from Sam Bankman-Fried, even if his name's on the account. He is no longer in charge. So, you know, that's not great. They also alluded to kind of a lot of problems where they called it, quote, the use of software to conceal the misuse of customer funds. Like this is a problem that they've identified, and that could be quite problematic for Mr. Bankman-Fried.
Wall Street Journal finance reporter Elliot Brown. Elliot, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
And finally, a funeral is probably the last event you'll attend, but likely the one you least want to plan. In a survey from the National Funeral Directors Association, just 15% of Americans 40 and older say they've put funeral arrangements in writing. Well, now some funeral directors and morticians are trying to come up with ways to put the fun in funeral, like organizing something called a Before I Die Festival. Our medical science reporter, Dominique Mossbergen, explains.
As the name suggests, you know, it's a festival. And as part of that event, you have lots of death-related things. And so you might have a dinner at a cemetery, you know, something called a death cafe, which is a gathering of people who have facilitated discussions around death, mortality, pre-planning, and related topics.
Death educator Gail Rubin has organized several such festivals, and she has some other ways to get folks talking about what's typically a tough topic, including making a game of it.
The Newly Dead game is based on the old TV show where we test couples how well they know each other's last wishes. The questions deal with things like, do you know your partner's mother's maiden name or where they were born? Because those are questions that, you know, you need to answer for a death certificate.
Depending on your perspective, the games could turn a loss into a win, with prizes like 30% off a cremation or burial package. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.